Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, hey, buddy.
I'm back. The triumphant return on possibly the day that I had like the least amount of time to do this. I really like appreciate you asking me on probably the day of the year I hate most.
Like, it is a bad day. It's a terrible day.
Yeah, exit interviews is a terrible day. Like, in terms of NBA coverage, exit interviews one of the worst days. Like, the first day of free agency is kind of crazy, but at least you don't have to transcribe that much.
Yeah,
transcribing. So, like same thing with the trade deadline. Like, most of it is, like, it's just writing. Mm-hmm. It's not the additional, you know, like, 18 hours of transcribing. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, shouts to our intern for helping out with that. So I appreciate it. You helped out a little. So
I am not the intern.
This was no. Well, you also helped out a little.
Yeah.
Also not the intern. This was actually, I'm going to say, like, this was a much easier day than I thought it was going to be. And so now it's like, as soon as we finish recording, something's going to break.
You know why it was an easier day, right? Than it could have been. Nobody freaking talked.
Well, that's true. We didn't have anyone with any of the executives or coaches talk.
Like, can you, all right, honestly, objectively speaking, and I know this is coming from somebody who is really hard on this organization.
Yeah.
But this is about as inept as it gets. That on the day that the most questions are going to be asked, they send out
Sending out Mo Wagner first was kind of a savage move. Like,
yes.
I don't know. Like,
explain that one. Explain that one. Because there's a level of shade there. If we still had our 50 Sage of Shade, that would. Oh, by the way, everybody, we are just going to continue talking about the latest developments in the fallout of Magic Johnson stepping down and everything that's come out since then. Harrison is apparently woke on a couple things that he's gonna say in response to me ranting and raving about the direction that it appears the Lakers are going in right now. Explain why it's a extremely petty move to send out Mo Wagner first.
Well, number one, he's the first person that these tired, cranky reporters, after like staying up all night writing and covering the Magic Johnson thing,
and then not
being allowed to have coffee, are like that. Then all of a sudden, this rookie is the first face you see, and you realize you're also told that LeBron is not going to speak. Which we knew LeBron wasn't going to speak today. Yeah, he was supposed to speak last night, and you know you can't delay a private jet to Brooklyn. So mm-hmm. like that's just how it goes. And like Magic's thing ended up obviously delaying that. My guess is that he'll come back and do one at some point. He'll do some kind of sit down with the media. It just like D'Angelo Russell did that when he didn't have an exit interview because he missed the last couple games to deal with the death of his grandma. Mm-hmm. And he came back a couple weeks later randomly in the middle of the summer and did an exit interview, and everybody was like, oh, he's so mature now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is great. And then Magic traded him and made fun of him on the way out the door. Yeah. But anyway,
LeBron should do his exit interview from Brooklyn tonight.
He should Skype in from the Bahamas, just like on the beach, and pretend to not be able to hear the questions and like that they're breaking up, and then hang up on them.
I have
just
it even thing. Better. I have it. D'Angelo Russell is in charge of all the questions. They're in.
I thought you were going to say the filming.
No, D'Angelo Russell is it's going to be an exit interview, a one-on-one exclusive with D'Angelo Russell, and Russell gets to send as much shade Magic Johnson's way as he wants.
Oh my God.
That's what I want.
So getting back to the Mo Wagner thing, aside from all those reasons that I already listed, like this is how you know that he was really a Magic pick, because like Pelinka just threw him to the wolves right away. Just like as one final protest, I guess. I don't know. I mean, no, usually they have the less well-known guys kind of go, one of the less well-known guys kind of go first. But to not have, I understand why they didn't want to have Luke and Rob talk, because they probably can't say anything. These are all experienced journalists that are going to be asking, okay, so what's next? Okay, so what are you going to do? Luke, do you still think you're going to be employed? Rob, do you still think you're going to be employed? Who's making the decisions? Who's going to be the next president of basketball operations?
Yeah.
And they were just gonna have to sit there and be like, I don't know, I'm not sure, we're still talking about it, I don't know, and I don't know, and I'm not sure.
It could be just, I'm telling you, dude, this organization is straight out of Veep.
That's what I'm just saying. Like, Luke would have had to just sit there the whole time and be like, I'm just here so I don't get fined. And like none of that, they couldn't have said anything. I understand why people were upset that they didn't talk, because everyone wants answers right now. The press wants answers. Fans want answers. People want someone to talk. But I promise you that, much to my chagrin, people are going to talk a lot over the next couple weeks, and we are going to have to write and podcast a lot about it. I just think genuinely, like, this seems to have caught them, you know, kind of by surprise that Magic would just step down like this. They may not have, you know, be surprised that something was kind of going down. It sounds like we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But, like, I think that they are genuinely surprised that he just stepped down. And so they didn't really, you know, they just probably don't have a lot of answers to that people want right now.
It felt to me like even Magic was shocked that the people would be surprised he stepped down yesterday.
He was just acting like this was a casual, like, that's how you know this was really a hobby for him, when he was just like, yeah, you know, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm going to tell Jeannie, you know, maybe later tonight, maybe tomorrow. I'm not really sure.
Jeannie's sitting there like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is going on right now? Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the initial leaks about the direction that the Lakers might be going in. So last night, I wrote and then said on the podcast that the reason that I am optimistic, or that I was optimistic at the time, is that this was so embarrassing, and that the greatest Laker of all time failed so miserably, that that has to prove to these people that Lakers exceptionalism is dead.
Anthony, I don't want to say I told you so, because I literally didn't tell you so, because I was not. So during Slack, like when we were slacking about your editorial that you were going to write, I thought at one point, I'm like, should I tell him that, like, this stuff always ends up not going in the most optimistic way possible, that even when it seems like this team is going to do the right thing or has done something well, it turns out it was actually terrible. Like, every single time, without fail, it always gets worse. And then I was like, no, you know what? He's so rarely optimistic that, like, I just at least want to show our readers that it's possible for him to actually, like, be optimistic about something and not just be angry. So I was like, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let him do it. And, you know, sure enough, they within 12 hours did something to, like, send you off a rail again.
So I want to say two things. I want to clarify two things here. One, I wasn't actually – well, I guess I tweeted out that that was the most optimistic I had been in years. But,
yeah,
like, that's an insanely low bar, right?
Yeah.
Two – the article itself, I said, this is how they should handle this. Not that people should believe that they will, right? And if it was going to happen, I thought this was the circumstance under which they would finally learn these lessons. But they didn't.
And so what are you mad about?
I'm very angry about...
Just in case people missed it today, you know, like, not everyone's on Twitter all day. There is an audience that just listens to the podcast.
There is. So, according to Ramona Shelburne of ESPN... Rob Littlefinger is somehow keeping his job, and not only keeping his job, mind you, but assuming a little bit more power because he now doesn't have a boss. Now, it sounds to me, and she said eventually, I think later, that it doesn't seem like they're going to directly replace Magic Johnson, and that Tim Harris is going to play some kind of role at this point now, who is the COO.
I think they said he might. It's not clear.
Yeah, but
is not a basketball guy and has never been a basketball executive. That's short, I think, important to note as a trend.
The short story, or the long story short here, is that after having their president of basketball operations choose Twitter over his duties in that role, they did not only not learn from their mistakes at all, they are going to double down on that and give more power to the guy who Magic Johnson openly seemed to hate in that press conference after he stepped down.
Well, now, yeah, and then Shams Charania just said that he was told that Johnson had on this video that I was just watching, that he was told that Magic had lost faith in Pelinka. And, you know, just given whispers that I can't, you know, I am not surprised that is not someone that people have a lot of faith in.
I'm also not surprised that Magic would let that leak either, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah.
They all have their narratives to spin, but I'm freaking out, dude.
Okay, so you're freaking out because you don't want Palenka to get more power, and you know, like,
I don't think he should have any power. I don't think he shouldn't. So I wrote the article before the Magic Johnson stuff went down, making the case for Palenka to step down even before all this madness, before all of this, because according to some people around the league, he seems to be a pathological liar, and he has a terrible reputation among people that he has to work with around the NBA, not just players and agents, but also other executives, to the point where there were some whispers out there that the Pelicans wouldn't even deal with Palenka, that Dell Demps would only call Magic Johnson. So like that went down. Magic steps down. You think, oh, awesome. This is a great opportunity to completely clean house, completely end this experiment. And like, LeBron already gave that fart noise to Dave McMenamin about the experiment of giving him a bunch of ball handlers. Do you think he would just actually fart if they asked him about this experiment?
I feel like that would be pretty rude for him to fart on Dave as like a response. Like, Dave didn't put Palenka in charge. That would be, I don't know.
Like, Dave, maybe if it's over the phone, fine.
I feel like that's still pretty disrespectful.
Well, you gotta get a new phone for one thing.
Yeah.
So why are you woke? How are you woke on this? Why should I not be freaking out? Why is there any reason whatsoever at this point to be optimistic that these guys just aren't idiots?
Okay. I can't sell you on the last thing, but what I can tell you is that if I were Jeannie Buss, and, you know, Jeannie Buss and I have very different thought processes on things. I think that, like, has been, you know, borne out over the course of this podcast and others and my writing and whatever. But, like, if I'm an owner of a team and I'm thinking about – and, like, I've just been dealt this blow by Magic Johnson where he just resigned without telling me beforehand. You're kind of scrambling. You're trying to figure out, like, what you're going to do. You know, you kind of have to take a little bit to collect your thoughts. And the Lakers, you know, even in their press release, they said that they were going to move forward kind of slowly and they were going to survey their options and they were going to figure out what exactly they were going to do moving forward. But this was not going to be something where they made an immediate decision. So to me, it does not make any sense that all of a sudden, like, Palenka is now like this beloved presence in Lakers headquarters and he's going to get more power and all this stuff. You know why they would say something like that? It's so that Palenka does not also leave and does not leave the job, despite them potentially looking for his replacement or looking for somebody who will come in and potentially fire him. You're not going to let that out there that you're not happy with this guy either. Like, because you still need somebody to do this, like, general manager work for this time. It's the same reason that the Lakers let Luke coach out the string of the season, even though they knew that they were probably wanted to replace him. They could have, like, if Magic and Jeannie were really talking this, like, last weekend or over the last week about firing Luke, and she had finally acquiesced whatever day it was and given him permission, then why didn't they fire Luke right then? Why did they let him coach the last, like, two or three games? It's because they didn't want to have to deal with that, like, poop storm and just like have to, you know, put together like find a replacement and deal with all of the like headlines and everything that would create. Like, if you're looking to replace someone, like, that right now they don't have a GM, they don't have a president of basketball or they don't have a president of basketball operations. So right now they need somebody to run this day-to-day stuff, even like stuff like exit interviews. You can't just let Rob go right away, and then if he's going to be like doing these exit interviews, you can't be leaking this whole time that, oh yeah, we're moving on from him. I'm not saying that they're for sure going to fire Palenka. I'm just saying that there's no motivation of anyone right now to leak that he's going to be gone, because like, they still have to survey their options and see what else is out there. They might not like any of the options that are out there and have to keep him. And then in which case, why would you leak that you weren't happy with him or that you weren't, you know, enamored and that you were thinking about replacing him? Like, there's no benefit. There's nothing to be gained right now. I don't think that these reporters are telling falsehoods. I think that this is what they're being told. Yeah. I just don't know what they're being told is the truth. It doesn't line up to me. It doesn't make sense to me.
The most prescient question I think that I have seen, is it prescient or prescient? I don't know.
It's prescient.
It's prescient, right? Yeah. The most prescient question that I've seen so far in response to Magic stepping down and then potentially letting Palenka go is, Jeannie doesn't have any experience in actually filling these positions, right? In actually carrying out the interviews and actually going through a candidate search and actually putting together a candidate pool, even. She has none of that experience. And I don't know where that's going to come from.
And the
from.
People advising her probably don't have that experience
either. Yeah, Linda Rambis, like, she doesn't have that either. So like, maybe Kurt Rambis is the closest thing to having that, right? And that's kind of terrifying. So I don't know where
you call Palenka Littlefinger, but you know, if Kurt Rambis were to somehow seize more power in there, we may have to move that comparison over somewhere.
Yeah, that's probably true. Let's take a quick second here again, and when we come back, I wanted to give as much room for this last segment as we possibly could, just because there's a ton to go over here. And by the way, there's this report hanging over everybody's head that could just blow the entire situation up altogether. So let's take a quick second, pay a couple bills, and when we come back, we're going to keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. That's like the second time in 2 or 3 weeks that I've done that, dude.
I don't know. I guess you're getting new verbal tics.
That's terrifying. It's something my dad says, and I'm not thrilled about that.
Well, anyway. You're about to have a child, so theoretically you are becoming your dad.
Oh, God. You guys do not want that show. All right. So let's back up here really quickly. And one of the things that Tanya Ganguly wrote in her article last night, summing up everything, she asked Magic Johnson about this, was this ESPN report that is supposedly coming down. We both thought it was coming today. It apparently, obviously, is not. It seems like it's going to be coming tomorrow morning. By the time you guys are listening to this, it might actually have already been...
Yeah, it might be out there by tomorrow morning. I don't know when it's actually going to drop, like, because I thought it was going to drop this morning.
I thought so.
But yeah, it's like, it doesn't sound, the fact that Magic Johnson spent like 2 graphs in that LA Times story prematurely denying the allegations and calling them false, whatever they may be, does not seem good.
Yeah, we can't get into specifics here. It would be about as irresponsible as we could possibly be here. And I'm extremely irresponsible. So all we can say, though, is that Ganguly wrote of the LA Times, wrote that this thing is coming over. Like you said, Harrison, Magic responded to it. It apparently directs or it apparently.
For one reporter to take the steps of asking about another story,
yeah,
like, before it's even come out and like that make sure that that's in print, like that does not happen. You don't see people preempt each other like that. And like, I think out of respect, like she wasn't going to, like if she knows exactly what's in it or what, and probably out of like some legality measures too, like you're not going to say necessarily what that story's about. But the fact that they felt the need to ask Magic about it right there and that it's become like prevalent enough that other reporters know it may be coming, and it sounds like it may have been coming potentially for a while, if that's the case. And
I've heard
so
6 months is how long they've been working on this thing.
Yeah. And so like, yeah, no, I do not think I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think that like, there are some things that you hear about Magic Johnson, and if they are in this report, like people are going to think about his legacy differently. If this report is what I think it might be, yeah. People are probably going to judge his legacy differently, and we are going to. And also, I'm not so sure that we're going to so much buy into that he was stepping down to tweet more.
That's the thing here, is that so last night, one of the things that Pete and I talked about quite a bit was the reasons for him stepping down didn't quite add up. Right. The logic was all over the place.
Yeah. As much fun as it is to joke that we'd love to step down, to be able to step down from our jobs at some point, just to be able to tweet more, just be like, yeah, I'm quitting so that I could tweet more. It's my true passion. that is not something a logical human being does. And I know that you have taken your faults with some things Magic Johnson has done, but Magic Johnson is not an illogical human being.
No, I don't consider him unintelligent or anything like that. Now, I think all of these people involved in running the Lakers over the last 5 years are incompetent. And
I don't think that they're unintelligent. I think that they are not suited for the roles that they are in.
Yeah, and so what it's going to be interesting to see here is A, whether or not Magic was actually stepping down of his own volition, and B, whether or not this thing takes other people with it, right?
Or if it even drops, because we don't really know.
Or if it even drops. If it doesn't drop, though, that would be quite the... Like, that in and of itself would be quite the bombshell for ESPN, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we don't know what's in it and how much it has to be vetted and how much it has to go through lawyers. Like, this might be something that now is getting even further delayed because they're waiting to kind of – now there's going to be a lot of people with a lot more reason to be honest. Now that Magic – there's this, like, power vacuum. And so that may be a factor. I don't know.
What direction?
I don't think it's going to be pretty.
What direction do you think the Lakers should go in here?
As far as,
well, like, not regarding the report, but in terms of their front office, the team's culture, like, do you think, because I think you and I both pretty much agree on the direction that they should go, right? Or at least the process that should go into the direction. But do we honestly think that they're capable of it? Because last night things were so raw, things were so new that even I was optimistic. But do we think that they're actually capable of seeing what a debacle this was? Because one thing that struck me last night, and Pete and I joked about this at the end of the show, but it's wild to see how many Laker fans were just like, "Oh yeah, this was a thing. This wasn't embarrassing. Like, what are we watching? How is this not embarrassing?" But do you think so? One, which direction do you think they should go in? And two, do you think they're capable of actually carrying that out? Do you think Jeannie Buss is capable of actually carrying that out?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you in that. I think that I think this would be your wishes as well, that they should carry out a kind of large candidate search, and that they should look outside of their organization, and that they should, you know, at least interview some people. Even if you end up deciding, like, let's say hypothetically, like, you decide that we're going to empower Jesse Buss, who has done a really good job with the South Bay Lakers, mm-hmm. and who, like, has shown scouting acumen, and, like, almost more proven out scouting acumen than Jim necessarily showed before he was put into power, or at least publicly. I know that people have credited him partially for the Bynum pick and other stuff, but like Jesse has continually run a pretty strong, like, place in South Bay. And, yep. you know, like, let's say you put Jesse Buss and Ryan West in power, just hypothetically. Mm-hmm. Like, at least before that, like, at least interview some other people, just so that you can get a sense for what they think that the Lakers should do. And then you can come back in a year, and you have a little bit more knowledge about how people on the outside of this organization think. And so even if you don't agree with them right off the bat, you have a way to evaluate when things go wrong. Like, oh, you know what? Like, David Griffin was telling me in his job interview that he wouldn't have made this move that so-and-so ended up making. And, like, maybe that actually wasn't a good thing. Maybe not everyone sees that as a universally good thing or whatever it is. Like, you inform yourself a little bit by talking to these other smart people. Mm-hmm. And so I think that just for that reason alone, even if they don't choose an outside candidate, it's worthwhile to go through the search process. And just from a PR standpoint of, like, if you just, like, like, right now, Twitter is a tire fire, and I know that Twitter is not representative of the generalized fan base, and that if Kobe sends a tweet real quick or makes a statement like, oh, yeah, I would not endorse anyone higher than Rob Pelinka to be president of basketball operations and GM, like, then that'll soothe a lot of Lakers fans. Mm-hmm. But right now, just from a PR standpoint, you would think that you'd want to have it out there that you tried to interview a couple other people, and so that this actually doesn't seem like it was just so preordained this time. And, like, you aren't just hiring whoever you're, like, literally and spatially closest to. So I think – and then as far as whether or not I think they're capable of that, I don't – I am pessimistic – but I don't think that it's impossible, because the reason they didn't do that the last time is because Jeannie, you know, she had her plan in place of, like, I know Magic, he wants to run the team, I want him to run the team. Like, there was very clear reasons why she didn't have a candidate search that time. And mm-hmm. then Pelinka, it was like Kobe was advocating for him, and, you know, whatever it may be, like, that there were clear motivations. They weren't necessarily good motivations, but they were clear. Yeah. Right now, I don't know that there's that much clear motivation to not have a candidate search at all.
Here's how I would put it. So you read Harry Potter, right?
Yeah.
Remember when Dumbledore died? The thing that Harry Potter said to himself at the end of that funeral or whatever, during that funeral, where he just said, like, my last greatest...
It's my fault.
Yeah, that too. Jeannie's probably sitting there like, gah! But I think the line is something like, my Harry's, like, last greatest defender had now stepped aside, and it was between him and Voldemort, basically, right? Boy, that sounds super nerdy. But that's And I'm not obviously saying that.
Wait, so who is Voldemort in this scenario? Is it Rambus?
It's Celtic. It's the Celtics. It's Danny Ainge. Okay. Or Del Demps or something.
It's not Del Demps. Well, Del Demps is fired. Maybe they'll hire Del Demps. He did a pretty good job pantsing them at the trade deadline.
Hey, that's why they hired Rob Pelinka, right? Oh, my
God. It's a trend here.
But... And again, I'm not equating like Magic's acumen in this to Dumbledore's acumen as a character and stuff like that. But really, like when you really think about it, Magic was the last great shield that Genie had from criticism. That's gone now. There's no former Laker who's going to step forward and assume that role, right? Like Kobe doesn't want anything to do with it.
I think let's get real woke on this. The Lakers press release last night thanking Magic called him, said there is no greater Laker. I think that was their literal phrasing. That was a challenge. I saw that as a challenge to Kobe. Yeah, they said there is no greater Los Angeles Laker than Irvin Johnson.
That was a first sentence.
That was a snake signal to Kobe to get the Black Mamba to get the chopper fired up and head up to El Segundo and just be like, oh, I'll show you who's a great Laker and rebuild the team in 1 year and teach LeBron how to win.
Can I give a what shouldn't be a hot take but will sound like a hot take?
I just want to make it clear that I was mostly joking, but go ahead.
Kobe would be terrible at this job too.
I'm not sure that that's as true. Like Magic, there were very clear like red flags heading into it, like mainly his Twitter account. Like Kobe, yeah. I think Kobe at the very least has shown to work incredibly hard and probably as hard in his non-basketball life as he is as he did in his basketball one. Like the stories that come out of him, like, you know, being at the offices at like 5 a.m. and whatever, like, and it sounds like he leaves earlier and gets to go take his kids to pick up his kids from school and whatever. But like it seems like on the outside that he's working really hard at this, and he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would half-ass anything. Like if he failed, it would be because he just like didn't have the vision or like the patience or whatever. It wouldn't be because he didn't try really hard and put in enough hours.
I don't know, dude.
But again,
he's interested in so right now. If you were to take somebody just in a vacuum,
Rob's gonna beg him to, though, just to save his job. Like
what's that?
Rob's gonna beg Kobe to just to save his job. Be like, look, Kobe, like you are the only one that can save me.
You're
literally the only person standing between me and a pink slip. Kobe, I need some of your Mamba mentality.
Kobe, you are literally the last step between me and unemployment for life. It kind of sounds like R3PO or C3PO? That has a C3PO vibe to it. But anyway, yeah. I don't know if Kobe would be good at it. One, because it's the same problem he would have as a coach, where he would look at somebody's work ethic. They wouldn't have his as a player, and he would say, nope, we got to get somebody in who does. And there's like three people in the history of the NBA who had that kind of work ethic, I think, right? So that would be kind of a hindrance. And then the other thing, too, is like Magic built his empire. Kobe very obviously wants to build his own. He's in the middle of building that empire right now. I would imagine that's going to be that's the center of his universe right now, other than his kids and his family, to continue to build this empire. I don't think he's interested in
also, he did just see how this went for Magic and how quickly public tenor turned on him, who was like arguably like Kobe is maybe the greatest Laker of all time. And there are a lot of people that feel that he is, but he's also the most polarizing Laker of all time. Yeah. Magic had a unanimous approval rating heading into this job, and like how quickly it flipped on him. Imagine how miserable the narratives would be about Kobe taking over too, like with efficiency Twitter and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine Twitter. if he was bad in this role, like it would, he didn't get nearly the runway. The other thing here too is, so you mentioned, you know, the idea of getting information from the people they're interviewing as much as like getting themselves situated moving forward. That's what they missed last time. That to me was the other than the need to move away from nepotism and cronyism and sycophancy, like those are the three things that they absolutely need to move off of, and I'm not sure that they're able to do that. But second on that list, and it's a close second, is the need to learn these things, because where else are they going to get this information from? She doesn't want anything to do with Jerry West. You and I talked about this previously. And now look, she doesn't want anything to do with Jerry West for somewhat viable reasons, right? He openly questioned her relationship with Matt, with Phil Jackson, and apparently it took a toll on her relationship with Phil Jackson, and obviously their engagement eventually wound up failing.
Well, but that was like decades later.
Right. But I'm saying these things aren't logical, right? Yeah. If you have a relationship end that way that you thought was going, you were going to have forever, that you're not necessarily logical about the people you lash out at after the fact when it doesn't work out, right? And I think that, you know, there are a variety of other reasons there with Jerry West, but for the only point that needs to be made here is she wants nothing to do with him. And my thing here is, and this is one thing that you and I kind of joked about in Slack, is we've literally been watching the Lakers implode for years now. Like this circle keeps shrinking further and further and further and further in, and this is what implosion looks like, where the circle becomes so small and it becomes so filled with sycophants that the person in charge has nobody to call him or her on their crap. And I think right now what Jeannie found out in the way that things played out with Magic is she needs somebody that she can trust to call her on stuff and be real on these things. And finding that person at this stage of the game is going to be really freaking hard. And that person that she finds to do that, by the way, is going to have to immediately implement all of these things that I'm not sure she's capable of on her own. This candidate search, finding a GM, if that person that they find, if this person that she winds up trusting doesn't want to be the president of basketball operations, they have to be able to find one of those and a GM and now a head trainer, potentially a head conditioning coach as well. They still need a shooting coach. Like
the subtext to all this is that, well, I don't know that they'll still, I mean, they might hire a shooting coach, but not every organization has one. There's no guarantee that whoever's the next president of basketball operations is going to feel that that's necessary.
Wild to me that after the terrible shooting season that they had this year, they would not.
Well, not every NBA team has one, which means that there are a lot of other GMs that feel the same way. I'm just saying, if they hire from the outside, they may get somebody who feels that way as well. Mm-hmm. And I forgot what I was going to say.
Lost my thought. Well, you were saying the subtext of all of that, of everything that they need right now. This is why I fired you.
Yeah, honestly.
No, I'll rant.
Well, subtext of all that, of bringing in the president of basketball operations, is that, like, that person, like, in addition to all these things that they're going to have to replace, that person probably doesn't want to work with Pelinka based on his reputation.
That's a big one.
And so, like, you'd be bringing in, like, it would be like musical chairs a little bit, where you're bringing in this one guy who wants to get rid of this other guy and maybe also your head coach. And, like, all of a sudden you're having to fill all these other positions. And so, like, you're eventually, like, you're going to run out of time before the draft lottery and stuff like that to do this. Like, I understand, I'm all for taking a methodical process in most cases, but, like, they need to start to figure this out soon. And I'm sure that they're working on it, but you know, there's a lot of variables here, because I don't think that any, like David Griffin does not want to come in here and have Rob Pelinka and have to, like, either answer to Rob Pelinka or have to manage Rob Pelinka. Yeah.
If whoever they hire as the president of basketball operations, if they hire one, which, by the way, is not necessarily on the table based on the leak so far, right? But if they hire a president of basketball operations and they have to work with Rob Pelinka, they are now working from a point of weakness immediately. They show up and they now have a reputation that they have to overcome and work through, and somehow, by the way, completely repair to the point, not just with other teams, but with this person. The thing about lying is that people, once you lose the trust of somebody, that's damn near impossible to get back. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And this is not only is it hard to regain that trust with a liar, potentially, but also that would be the first impression, right? And so the you're trying to overcome for whoever this president.
You don't lure the most qualified candidates by giving them a suboptimal opening. Like everybody can talk about. Like I know Zach Lowe talked on a podcast that there's been like speculation that the Lakers are the one job that could get Bob Myers to leave Golden State. That feels like it was planted straight by an agent to get Bob Myers a raise from Golden State.
Yep.
But you know, it might not be. Maybe he like for some reason has interest in running the Lakers.
I think Buford he went to UCLA. Went with the same thing. Woj said exactly. The same thing about RC Buford.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I saw people saying that they should go after RC. I missed that. But like they should go after those people, but none of those people want to come in and not get to hire their own front office. Like maybe the scouts they'd be fine keeping around, whatever, but like none of them want to inherit a GM.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
And they wouldn't want to inherit a GM under the best circumstances, right? Like, like Magic Johnson inherited Luke Walton, who at the time was still considered one of the top young coaches in the NBA.
Yeah.
And even he didn't want, now Magic was illogical in that
like,
response.
It's different. Yeah. And like, then all of a sudden you like all these guys don't want to inherit a coach, much less don't want to inherit like the person that they're going to have to work with day to day.
Yeah.
Like they want that to be their guy. And honestly, I don't really blame them. Like if I came to this site, like I wouldn't want to inherit like my second in command.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
Yeah,
like that was one of the first things when you were going to Silverstein.
Or like at least not have it forced upon me. You know what I mean? Like Christian, you know, obviously stayed on and like has been great for us and is my number two now. But I would have been like I didn't want anyone like and my boss didn't force that on me. Christian went through and I thought he was a great person and he was somebody that I would have wanted on my staff anyway. But like my boss, you know, didn't make me keep people.
And eventually, you know what I mean? And eventually Christian earned that promotion, right?
Yeah.
It got to a point where I said, no, he deserves that spot.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it does work out, right, is what you're saying there. But
saying there is that, like, nobody wants to be told who they have to hire.
Yeah.
If they're being put in a position where they're holding the main part of their job is hiring people.
That's why I left the Lake Show life. Is they told me, no, you actually have to work with all these people.
Yeah.
And you're not only do you have to work with them, but you're not allowed to bring anybody else in. And I said, well, all right, fine. I'm gone. Look. We're talking about heads of blogs right now. These are the heads of multi-billion-dollar entities. Yep. Like the egos at the top there are endlessly bigger and endlessly more gained and earned than ours. And that's kind of what the Lakers are going to have to deal with here. And yeah, we'll see. We'll end on this. We have three more minutes. Do you think Rob Pelinka is the general manager of the Lakers by the time the lottery happens?
Yes, I do. Because I always kind of lean towards, like, inertia. So, yes. I was going to ask you, who, like, out of the names out there, like, who would be your number one, like, who would you want them to go after?
I like David Griffin. The thing that I like about David Griffin is that not only do I consider him, like, when I hear him talk, it, not only does he come across as obviously really, really
very
bright,
smart.
Very smart, but he also seems like a really good person, and not in a fake way. You know,
and he also has a demonstrated like track record of standing up to LeBron. So if that's something that's very important to Genie, is like standing up to LeBron and standing up to Clutch at times. Like
that's the irony here.
Yeah,
because the irony here was that like she's been kind of reticent to David Griffin and to Tyronn Lue because she doesn't want to be, what was the quote? She doesn't want to be a LeBron led organization.
She wants to be a bus led organization.
A bus led.
She said that to herself to reassure herself, according to the report. And I don't know. That was very bizarre.
So that to me was interesting. But that's the irony there, is that like if you actually do want to stand up to LeBron, you got to bring in people who actually have done it before. And my thing, though, is more than just a name, and I do really like David Griffin as a name, but to me what's really freaking important here is the process that goes into it.
Yeah.
That
I
really
think
matters.
So just to answer my own question before we wrap things up here, I think the name is really clear, actually. Like, if the Lakers want to get a star in free agency, I think you got to go after Jim Buss. I think he's the guy that drafted D'Angelo Russell. Like, he might be able to be like, hey, I was the one that believed in you. I never would have shipped you out. Like, that might be their best chance at getting a plus player in free agency. I'm just saying, he could be like, hey, let's get the band back together. Like, Julius is a free agent. Let's make this happen.
Do you think, how do you think Lakers Twitter takes that over? Or, like, Lakers casual? Lakers Twitter, I think, would take it, because at this point they're so sick of the way things have gone that they'd be like, oh, fine. But how do you think, like, casual fan takes that?
Oh, it would be a bad day on sports radio.
That was perfect. The vitriolic, oh, that's what I was looking for. All right, man. Well, thanks for hopping on. By the way, everybody, if you enjoyed this conversation, you can check Harrison and I out every, what is it, Tuesday. On Silver Spoon and Rolls podcast channel, podcast feed. We are The Lake Show. This is Locked On Lakers, though. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you to Himalaya for continuing to partner with the Locked On Network. Thank you to all of our other partners. Harrison, stay well, dude. We got this. We're almost there. I think it's going
to
get way worse.
Go subscribe to the Silver Screen and Roll podcast feed on iTunes. Just search Silver Screen and Roll.